Esterna, Holton Faith.
Ek weet nie of ek enige hartseer in Jimmy Stoney as sy stem hoor nie, want dit moet frustrerend wees as jou span so ver voorloop en dan uiteindelik wegstap met 'n verloor. Ek het daar's 'n paar bonuspunte daarin, maar hy sê hy's trots op sy span. Terloops, ek wil net gou vir Clint sê, hallo Clint, how's it? Welcome. Hey, wait, come on, hang on, I gotta get you here.
There I am.
There we go. Okay, perfect. Hello, Clint.
How are you, Robin?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Good, thank you. So, well, there's a whole reason why you're here, and we'll tell everybody in a short while.
But okay.
I just want to ramble on about Jimmy Stonehouse and the rugby a little bit. I was there at the game last night, and it's sad. The feeling, and there's nie 'n skare nie. Daar's niemand in die stadion nie. En dan doen jou span so goed en die ouens binne in die span is opgewonde en dan na die laaste 5 minute word dit voor jou neus weggeraap. So tell me, can you hear any sadness in Jimmy's voice when he says this?
Ja, die afsinsaak is ongelooflik om die ouens gesien speel het. Ek gesukkel tweede helfte met die bench wat opgekom het, vaste fasette, skrams verloor in die tweede helfte, dit hulle teruggebring in die wedstryd. Maar ongeag dit, het ons nog 2 kanse gehad en 3 aan te teken wat ons nie gebruik het nie. En dit telt nie nou in die einde van die dag. Maar dat ek trots is op die ouens, ongelooflik.
Dat ek trots is op die ouens, dis ongetwyfeld. So, I read the messages on Facebook this morning and people in support of the Pumas. I know you not from this area. So, what team do you support, by the way?
Robin, do we have to start off the morning with that question?
Hang on, I know the answer to this. I hear it every time you perform.
I'm not big on sport. I'm more big on the arts, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to an all-boys boarding school in the Eastern Cape where I had rugby rammed down my throat for...
Too long,
and I played a lot of rugby. I enjoyed the game, and then I left school and became a professional musician. And I played in places in Pretoria like the Castle Arms Tavern, where it was completely and utterly inundated by Blue Bulls supporters, and I was often shouted at and told, "Engelsman, Bristol wants kicky rugby." So rugby—it's a wonderful game. And I think last night I watched the game, and it's the first time I've watched a full game of rugby in a long time. And I thought the Pumas were absolutely amazing. It was unexpected that I thought they were going to do that well, but it just goes to show. And it's something that the All Blacks have always been very good at, is that those last 10 minutes is where they were able, the experience and the pressure just came through in the last 10 minutes for the Stormers.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, if there's anybody sad, including their coach, don't worry. It's just a game. It's just a game. It's a fabulous game, but it's just a game.
Still, it's pain. It's the kind of pain that you don't want on a Saturday morning. I remember years ago when there was a game between the VP and the Noord-Transvaal, and that Sunday, the whole of South Africa was negatief daai sonoggend as jou span verloor het, and it was like groot opskrif op die rapport se voorblad.
Yeah. Well, listen, the amount of times that I did gigs after
yes.
a Springbok rugby match.
You experienced that.
And the difference in the crowd, whether we had won or whether we had lost, was palpable. It was, I mean, if we had won, then we knew there was a serious party ahead of us. Yeah.
But regardless, I mean, the owner of the establishment knew there was going to be drinking.
Exactly.
It's a win or a lose. Yeah,
yeah. Yes. Both ways, he was going to make some money.
Yeah. Listen, I don't want this to be a, well, it can be anything. You know what? We don't have to conform to any rules, but let me just explain to everybody. So Clint is Clint Cunningham van die band Clint & Co. Hulle is hier vanavond Saterdag aan, hulle speel by die Barnyard Theater, en op 'n Saterdag het ons die Saterdag Celebrity gasaanbieder, en ek tog, jy weet jy wat, Clint moet maar 'n dag vroeër deurkom sodat jy Saterdagoggend saam met ons kan spandeer hier and literally take over. Literally take the show over. It's your show. If we just sit and chat, that's fine. But I don't want to host it. I want you to host it. And let's have fun this morning.
100%. Well, for the listeners who don't know, you and I go back many, many years. I think the first radio interview you did with me was 25 plus years ago, Radio Ripple in Pretoria. And you're a fabulous DJ and a fabulous lover of South African talent, which is the one thing that our industry needs the most is support.
Yeah.
And you've always been great with that. So it's wonderful to spend some time with you. I will do my very, very best to try and take over this morning and present for you. It's very, very early in the morning for a musician. Yeah. I'm digging deep. My personality is there. Don't worry.
We can also open the lines. As jy wil saamgesels, jy's altyd welkom. Clint het 'n redelike gevolg hier in die Laagveld met, like you said yesterday with Sanet and Pieter. How you had the sold out shows at the Barnyard and it all started for you there. So there's a huge following for you. So let's open the lines. And as jy wil saamgesels, die WhatsApp nommer is 061-496-4323.
061-496-4323. Okay, awesome. So some people are going to WhatsApp in. Oh,
hopefully.
That makes it even scarier. Yeah, how many years ago was it now? 19 years ago, an agent booked my band and I to perform at the White River Barnyard at the Castle Bridge Shopping Center. We did our Creedence Clearwater Revival tribute show, and we broke their attendance records that Friday night, and the Saturday night broke the Friday night record. And at that time, there were a lot of out-of-town barnyards. There was Mossel Bay, Plettenberg Bay, Franschhoek, Machubus Kloof, Clarksdorp. All these towns had little barnyard theatres. And they all used to chat amongst each other and say, they used to ask each other, who did you have that was good? And we got a great review from the White River Barnyard, and that's what got us to be hired by all the other barnyards, so much so that we did all the main barnyards in Gauteng and obviously in Durban and in Cape Town as well. So the Barnyard theatres, the Barnyard, what would the word be? All of them together provided this wonderful base for my band and I to earn a living and do what it is that we love. And my band and I were all big Creedence fans. We're able to throw in a few of our own songs here and there to show how we were moulded and shaped as musicians ourselves. And we love coming here. It's a very special little theatre, that theatre.
Can you recall who the owner was back then? Because it's gone through a couple of owners.
The owner was a guy by the name of Rico Slubbert. His dad was Frederick van Sail Slubbert, the politician. Yes. Rico is in Stellenbosch now. He is a full-on chef and doing very, very well in the food industry. I speak to him quite regularly. He was involved up in Johannesburg last year at a golf estate where Clinton Co. did a couple of gigs. So yes, old Rico, he was the one who opened the doors for us here, and I'm still in contact with him.
I don't know why I'm asking the questions. But it doesn't matter. We can do what we like. Can we talk about Clint Cunningham and Clinton Co.? Because it started. Look, the band is a beautiful band, and I love it when you go on stage and you say, "What a band!" What do you say always when you're on stage?
What a band! Yes, I'm very, very blessed to work with three of the top musicians in the country. Each one of them is they're very, very talented, and they've paid their dues, and they've done their time, and they're masters in their craft. And to be able to front a band with that kind of foundation and backing behind you enables me to be the clown and the village idiot, and enables me to be serious. It enables me to be funny and to sing my heart out. And so I'm very blessed with my band.
Let's start with Larry. Larry is a drummer.
Larry Rose, yeah.
Yeah, he's been in
cinema.
Well-known bands.
Yeah, he was in cinema. Who else was he in?
I played a cinema song just now. I Want You Inside and Out.
Yes, yes.
And Larry was on that band.
Yeah, Larry's been around for a long time. He's a serious drummer.
Mm.
Fabulous guy to have behind you on the
kit. He's also a jazz drummer. He can do jazz, can't he? He also teaches, hey?
Yes, he works for the Johannesburg School of the Arts. He teaches drums. I wouldn't say he's a jazz drummer. I'm sure he's more than capable of playing some jazz tracks, but he's definitely a rock drummer.
Oh.
Definitely a rock drummer, yeah.
I remember in Pretoria when he came out with Jared and Mike, and Craig was the keyboard at that stage. And then they would set up, they do sound check, and yes. Larry would drive them crazy because he doesn't stop. He just, his sound check takes long.
And he
just goes bang, 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 bang. He gets it perfectly.
Yes.
And the rest of us have to sit and wait until he's finished.
Yes.
Do you experience that?
You know, there's a thing that, if you've played in a band before, you'll know what a monitor system is. A monitor system is the system of speakers around you that allow you to be able to hear what it is you're doing on stage, because the speakers that provide what the audience is listening to are in front of you. So Larry is very particular about his monitor sound. He likes to hear certain things in his monitor and will not stop until he has that in his monitor, which is fabulous.
And if you give him time... He takes the time.
Absolutely, yeah. That's one of the things, being in the business for as many years as we've been in, the whole setting up and sound check thing, that lost its fun long, long time ago. You know? That's the part we get paid for, is the packing up, the setting up, and the sound checks. All the other stuff in between is the fun part.
Yeah. Last night we spoke about Terloops, as jy net by ons ingeskakel het, Clint Cunningham saam met ons, hy is ons gas, celebrity gas aanbieder, en ach, weet jy wat, ek krijg net lekker chat vandag. Talking about setting up in between, or during a show, when you have a lineup of bands, or a lineup of artists, and a mix, and that's the other thing, if you have a mix of singers who work with backtracks, and then you have musos who play with real instruments, and you are part of a lineup, wherever you are. If it's one of those big gigs along the coast or here in Nelspruit.
Yeah.
The setting up and sound check. Like tonight, you go and you play at the Barnyard Theatre. You have your time to set everything up and get that ready. But then you get invited to a gig where you have literally 10 minutes or 15 minutes to change bands.
Like the festivals. I mean,
like festivals, yeah.
Festivals, you've got to, you have to surrender to the sound engineers and hope that they know what they're doing. Most times they do. And you've got to be quick. And that kind of sound engineer must be good at mixing on the fly.
Mm.
So, I mean, your first song is basically
that's
the sound
check. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Is it onrechtvaardig? What is that in English?
Unfair.
Unfair to change bands within 10 minutes. Or is that part of the fun?
It's part of the fun. You know, at the end of the day, you got to look at the big picture. The big picture is you're putting on a huge show with a whole bunch of artists to as big an audience as possible. At the end of the day, it's all about the audience. It's not about us. It's about the audience. So you do your job, the things that you know how to do and that are in your... the jobs that are in your lap at the time, you do it the best that you can and hope that everyone else around you is doing the same.
Mm.
Yeah.
We were talking about Larry, so let's talk about Pete. He's Peter, the guitarist.
Peter is my guitar player, Peter Hanmer. We call him the Hammer. He is the musical director, the musical brains behind Clint & Co. He's the cleverest of us all, musically speaking. He runs a recording studio. He has a huge solo career as well. He does a lot of instrumental rock writing. So he's released a bunch of albums, and he and I have written a bunch of stuff together as well. He's got a recording studio, Fox Club Studios, in Alberton in Johannesburg, that does very well for him as well. So he's an awesome player, and an awesome guy. he's been in Clinton Co. the longest. He's been 17 odd years he's been with me now, you know. So obviously I've had a couple of band members change over the years, but not a lot, you know. My Larry's been with me for 10 years, Darvey has been with me for about 8 years, and Pete's been 17, 18 years with us now. So if we had not have had lockdown this year, we would have done our 800th Creedence Clearwater Revival tribute show in nearly 19 years. 800 Creedence tribute shows. Isn't that, I mean, that is testimony to the fact that you don't really know what's going to happen ahead of you. I mean, I didn't plan that. I love Creedence, will always love Creedence. I was a one-man band in the pubs and clubs, dying to get out of the pubs and clubs and to play theatres, because it's a much better audience. They listen so much better, and I have had so much to give, you know. So I put the Creedence tribute together, never ever realizing that 19 years later, pushing 800 Creedence tributes, that the show would still be alive. And it's made our lives make sense, you know. We've been able to put food on the table and put our kids through school, and because of the songs written by a band over 50 years ago.
So you said that I'm a supporter of South African music, which I am.
Yes.
And I'd rather pay the ticket to hear you sing your song.
But that's what makes you special, Robin.
So is that the case with the general audience as well? So as jy so voel, sou jy eerder die kaartjie betaal om daai oorspronklike liedjie te hoor van die kunstenaar, of gaan dit vir jou oor 'n kaartjie wat jy betaal om 'n goeie aand te hê, om 'n lekker aand te hê? En 'n lekker aand beteken jy luister na liedjies wat vir jou bekend is. Nog iemand wat nog 'n weergawe doen van Sunday Coming Down, the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had another one for dessert.
Yeah.
What's that song? It's
Sunday morning coming down. Yeah.
Who wrote it?
Gordon Lightfoot.
No.
Wasn't it Gordon Lightfoot?
No.
No, it was, I'll tell you who it was.
I can't think of it now.
Oh.
Help me. 0614964323. Chris Christofferson.
That's what it is.
Thank you.
No, you just had to say the number.
So my vraag is, as jy 'n vertoning wou gaan sien, so kom ons sê, Aha, kom terug Suid-Afrika toe om weer hier op te tree. Nou, but they don't do covers, they only do originals.
Yeah.
Wie doen covers? In elk geval, gaan dit vir jou daaroor om liedjies te luister wat jy ken, a la Hassie en die rest van Creedence Clearwater se liedjies? Of gaan dit vir jou daaroor om, I guess it's personal choice then. How do you experience it?
There is an amazing thing that happens with music, and it's a thing called associative memory. That if something big is happening in your life at the time that you were introduced to that song, or that song was a hit on the radio, you associate to that song. Yeah. So you might hear Down on the Corner by Creedence Clearwater Revival, and it takes you straight back to your varsity days at Rhodes University in Grahamstown, where you fell in love for the first time with a girl called Susan. And all of a sudden, all of those memories come flying back into your head. So I think that's people nostalgia, and that's one of the reasons why Creedence works so well, is that it takes people back to a good time in their lives. So I think nostalgia is a big thing in terms of those kind of shows. South Africa is, I think we're in a very, very interesting situation. We have such a heterogeneous population base. We've got 11 plus official languages. I think what a lot of people don't understand is that the language that is most spoken in this country is Zulu.
Yeah.
The second most spoken language in this country is Xhosa. The third most spoken language in this country is Afrikaans. And English is the fourth most spoken language. Now, a lot of people don't understand that. So in terms of your musical markets, the English market is fourth on the list. So that's one of the reasons why the Afrikaans music industry has done so well over the last 20 plus years or so, is there's a lot of people that speak Afrikaans, and hulle staan saam met hulle volk, né? And so South Africa is in a very interesting situation where, I mean, I've written 250 plus songs. I've released 20 albums. In our Creedence show, we do two or three of my own songs through the night. And yet, most of my ability to be able to earn money has come from doing tribute shows. I don't think our...
Do you get sick of it?
Hey, I love Creedence. I'll sing Creedence for the rest of my days. But yes, I would like to be able to do more of my own stuff. I would love to be able to say, okay, tonight is an all-original show and know that I'm going to sell 200, 300 tickets and that an audience will come.
You've done that. You've said you have done your own full shows.
Plenty.
But you don't sell... We don't sell 2 million.
We don't sell nearly as many tickets as what we sell when we would do a Creedence show.
Damn it.
And we don't have the infrastructure to back us as an English-speaking artist that loves rock and roll in this country. I couldn't have marginalized myself more if I tried. It's a tiny little market. So there's that
Do you think Prime Circle and Art Matthews, and they feel exactly the same? Marginalized? Polytones?
I'm sure they do. Look, they're very successful and they've done very, very well, but I guarantee you it's not the only thing that they do. They do all kinds of other things. They're recording in studios, they're writing songs, they're doing production, running recording studios, that kind of a thing. So I'm sure they've been able to augment the money that they earn in other ways as well.
Why don't you do it?
Why don't I do what? Do more of my own stuff.
No. I'm saying doing what they're doing, opening a studio, recording other artists,
recording
studios, in other people.
Recording studios are wonderful things, and you have to have a certain temperament for that. And I enjoy being in a recording studio, and I've spent a lot of time there. But fundamentally, I am an entertainer. I feed off a live audience. People in front of me. Even now with lockdown, I did a couple of shows on Facebook, this whole new thing that popped up. Virtual shows, Facebook Live. And it was, although it was great fun, and I was able to earn a little bit of money out of it, it's not the same as having live people in front of you that get caught up in the moment with you. That is an amazing thing. An amazing, amazing thing. I'm hooked on that. I want to perform live. And if it means Harsey, I'll play Harsey. It's a fabulous song, and a lot of people have wonderful memories attached to it. But I will make sure that once you've listened to Harsey and a whole bunch of Creedence songs, that you will get a taste of me and what it is that I've done originally with my work, you know?
I can sit here and we can just ramble on for hours.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Unfortunately, this is radio. Flip it. We have to play music.
Yes.
and we've got to pay some bills as well.
Yes.
But, oh man, there's so many directions I want to go with this. And again, it's not an interview. It's a chat. The two of us.
With an old friend.
Clint Cunningham is hier saam met ons. Hy is eintlik die aanbieder vandag. Hy is eintlik die gas. Hy is die Saterdagoggend celebrity gas aanbieder. So I'll get you to do the weather and maybe announce a song or something. At least we've done that part.
I can do that. A very, very huge, hearty good morning from me to all you wonderful people here in the Lowveld. I'm very excited to be here. This is a fabulous part of the world. It's a very special place here. You're close to all the wildlife and big open spaces. And no, it's very cool to be here. Thank you for having me.
En net hierna is ons terug, sê dit in Afrikaans.
En net hierna is ons terug.
Signor weer.
Stian Reynese.
Reynierse.
Reynierse. There we go. Ek probeer.
That's
kom,
good.
Kom ek verduidelik vir julle. Ek is in Zimbabwe gebore, so ek het Engels groot geword. But... On my mother's side, because my mother was born here in South Africa, her mother was a Miss Isabella de la Rey. Isabella's father was Adrian de la Rey, en Adrian Sobuti, General Koos de la Rey. So op my ma se kant van die familie is ek a de la Rey. So ek is net so Afrikaans as wat jy is. And I will try to speak more Afrikaans.
Alhoewel ek is een Engelsman.
Ja. Ja, ek doen dit omdat ek kan, alhoewel ek is een Engelsman.
What song would you be like to be known for?
What song would I like to be
and
known?
Really, it should not be anybody else's song.
Okay. Quick story goes like this. You ever been to Klerksdorp? Klerksdorp is a fabulous little town. Okay, I've got some very good friends there. Clinton Coe performed there at least once, twice a year. Made some wonderful friends there. I love Klerksdorp. Finished the show the one night. I was standing signing CDs and noticed at the end of the queue there was a guy who he had big scars on his head and he had...
balded? Could you see the scars?
Yeah, no, he was bald. Yes, the hair was just starting to grow back. You could see he had major surgery on his head. And he was waiting for a chance to speak to me with what turned out to be his sister and his mom and dad. And once I'd finished signing CDs, we had a bit of a chat. And this guy was very emotional. And he wanted to explain to me that one of my songs had saved his life. He had had three tumors removed from his head. He was in a bad way in hospital. They didn't give him much hope. And he felt he was on his way out. And somebody gave him one of my songs. And the song is called Rock Bottom. And the song is all about... When you reach the bottom of the barrel, when you hit rock bottom, there's nowhere else to go but back up again. So it's a song that that gives hope that things can only get better, but it's also a song that acknowledges when you're going through a terrible time and you're at the bottom. And he grabbed onto the song with both his hands. And he listened to it 20, 30 times a day. It was his cell phone when it rang. It was that song, and it got him through. And he came up to me, and I told a story on stage that evening about the music industry, and the story goes like this. There's an old Portuguese lady in Primrose in Johannesburg who makes the very, very best hamburgers you will ever eat in your life. She's got a little corner cafe. She's got all the gears and culinary skills. She's got all the right produce, fresh produce, and she makes the very best hamburger you will ever have. It's a proper, proper hamburger. She sells about 30 to 40 of those hamburgers a day, but the McDonald's across the road from her outsells her by hundreds. And the question is, who makes the better burger? So do you measure by quantity or do you measure by quality? And that blew my mind, especially in looking at the music industry, in struggling to make it, struggling to get songs on air, making a life out of doing a Creedence tribute. You know, that's what my life has been like. So it made me look at the music industry in a different way, and it made me want to be that old lady. My songs and my music, I want to make those kind of burgers. I don't want to make the overpackaged, over-manufactured commercial type of thing that the McDonald's does. So I had told that story on stage. I mean, when someone is given a Grammy Award, the Grammy goes to the person who sold their most albums in that particular category. So there was a guy in the audience that day who had witnessed the whole thing and said to me, Clint, if anyone ever asks you, have you won a Grammy, you must say yes, and that his name is Patrick and he lives in Klerksdorp. And the fact that that happened to me is like, that's my greatest success ever, is that a song of mine had a huge positive impact like that. That's what I would like to be remembered for. Not for Engelsman Gooi Haasi,
yes,
which I'm more than happy to do, but that was a very, very special moment. I found in the music industry you get taught, you write some songs, it gets on the radio, you become famous, and the rest is history. It obviously doesn't work like that. And the older I've gotten and the more time I've spent in the industry, I've realized that I have this gift of being able to sing and entertain, and I share it with people, and how it impacts them is what it is all about. So I have enjoyed success, not in the way I originally thought it was going to come, but in many, very, very many different ways. For example, the boxing industry. For 10 years, I've been a qualified ring announcer in the boxing world. I have sung our national anthem 19 times in a boxing ring before a world title fight that's going to be broadcast to 100 plus countries.
And you've never stumbled?
Never stumbled. I made sure that I knew our anthem backwards, because our anthem is not an easy anthem. No. Really, it's got a whole bunch of different languages in there. But I made sure that I was going to do that properly. And I mean, honestly, Robin, it's the scariest thing I've ever done, is to sing a national anthem, because it's not about me. you have literally a minute and 20 seconds to do justice to a very, very important song. You are in other people's hands in terms of camera angles and sound engineering. I mean, I was in Monaco in the south of France, and Hecky Budler was fighting to protect his world title. He was, I think, the minimum weight champion of the world, and I sang the national anthem. So we'd done a sound check during the day, so I had a little laptop that played a backtrack so that I could sing along with it. I had my little spot with my microphone and my laptop just out of shot. So Michael Buffer, the huge ring announcer, the guy who has patented, let's get ready to rumble, he's the main dude.
Okay? He patented it?
He's patented it. Wow. You can't say that in a... And that's his line. Let's get ready to rumble. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, please be upstanding for the singing of the national anthems. And I press play, and I step into shot, okay? And about 5 seconds go by with silence. And in that 5 seconds, the anthem should have started. And I realized that the sound engineer at the other side of the room had obviously pressed a button that had muted my backtrack. So in that 5 seconds, I worked that out and then realized that the sound engineer any moment now is going to realize he's done that.
He's going to release.
And he's going to unmute it.
Oh.
And the song will already have started playing and I'm going to struggle to find my place.
Oh.
So quick as a flash, I step out of camera, stop the laptop, step back into camera and sing our national anthem a cappella.
Ah.
Now, my precious dad was still alive back then, and he had recorded it. And when I got back home and I watched it, you can see that 5 or 6 seconds. Now, I know what's going through my head, and the gray hairs are literally sprouting, but you cannot see it on my face. Boom. And then I sang the...
Oh, man.
It's probably one of the scariest things I've ever done. And I thank goodness I've had a lot of experience of being on stage, so I was able to work out what was wrong. But I mean, I've done. Oh, there's another one where I had to sing the national anthem for Ghana. So now there's a little French guy. This is again in Monaco for a big boxing tournament in the south of France. There's a little French guy holding me back. I got my guitar on. I've got a headphone microphone. I'm going to sing the Ghanaian national anthem. Okay.
Seriously?
Which is an English national anthem, quite colonial. God bless our homeland, Ghana. Okay. That's how it starts. So I learned the song. And now my intuition is telling me, get to the ring. You're too far from the ring. Michael Buffer's going to announce you at any stage. But this little French guy wouldn't let me go. I kept saying to him, must I go? And he had a walkie-talkie that kept...
He was a gatekeeper.
Yeah, it kept crackling into French, and I had no clue what he was talking about. Till eventually I thought, you know what, I'm just going. So I shook his arm off my arm, and I went. And thank goodness I did, because as I got to the corner of the ring to get up into the boxing ring, Michael Buffer said, ladies and gentlemen, please be upstanding for the singing of the Ghanaian national anthem. So now I've still got to get into the ring through the ropes, and I've got battery packs on my back for my guitar and for my headphones.
And they get stuck.
And I'm trying not to get stuck, and I literally clumsily pop into the ring, stand up straight, look straight into the prince and princess's faces that are in the royal box looking up at the boxing ring. And I strum the first chord, and the sound engineer has muted my guitar.
Oh, man.
But I can hear it, so there's nothing I can do. So I strum the first chord, and I sing the first line. And within the first line of the anthem, the sound engineer gets everything right. But the Ghanaian boxer... I was standing very close to his corner. He gets overcome with passion. So he decides he's going to sing with me. So he belts out the second line of the Ghanaian national anthem, which was completely unexpected and very loud close to me. So much so that a drop of his spittle landed on my cheek. That's how much chias he had in his corner. And I mean, how that didn't throw me. I think I must have stumbled over the next line or so. But I got through it and then you walk out, and it's literally that it all happened in like less than 2 minutes. And the adrenaline pumping through my veins. So yes, the gray hairs sprouted.
Yeah. But this is something that Idol's winners... And the voice winners don't realize. Jy kry die geleentheid om op 'n verhoog te staan, daar's 4 judges, hulle sê vir jou jy's great, jy kan goed sing, maar jy het in jou lewe laas nog gesing toe jy karaoke goed gedoen het. En nou skielik staan jy op 'n verhoog en hier's Kaan en Karen wat vir jou sê, jy is die beste ding sinds sliced toast, maar jy het in jou lewe nog nooit 'n speaker gedra nie, jy het in jou lewe nog nooit die pubs gedoen nie.
Yeah.
And that experience, that it gets you out of tricky situations like that.
Yeah.
I don't see one of these instant singers waddle themselves out of a tricky situation like that. What they would probably say, hang on, stop the backtrack, let's start again, or something like that.
Yeah.
That's years of experience.
You can't do that with the national anthem because the TV is what it's about. It's about camera angles and your sound and broadcast all over the world. And it's like, it's time to sing the anthem. You sing it now. Yeah. Done. Next. Back onto the fighters.
Yeah.
So,
did you ever go back to that sound guy and talk to him about the mute button?
I wanted to, but I didn't. I was just so glad that. And look, there was a big language barrier as well, France.
Oh, yeah.
So I was just grateful that I managed to pull it off.
The South African anthem, which you did a cappella, that guy.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Now I would have loved to have said a few choice words in his ear, but yeah.
Do you prefer now to sing the anthem a cappella without a lead?
Oh, there's magic to both. There's magic to both. I've got an awesome track that my guitar player Peter made for me, so I enjoy having the track. But I've only ever done it the once a cappella, and I got good feedback from it. People enjoyed it. You've got to remember, if you sing it a cappella, to start in a key that you'll be able to handle for the rest of the song, and not start too high. And then when you get to the high part at the end, you can't reach up there. So it's nice to have the music as your foundation, but it's also, there's something special about an important song like that being sung a cappella, especially if you do it with Geus. And that night I definitely did it with Geus because I had so much adrenaline pumping through my veins.
I remember once you didn't even give advice, you just set this out somewhere. And I want to take this as an advice moment for somebody who starts out singing right now. And I heard you once say, the one thing that anybody who sings needs to get right is to be exactly on the note when you need to sing. You need to sing. Just explain that to me.
Oh, that's one of the lyrics in my song. There's only two rules to music, but nothing else is a crime. But it's got to be in tune and it's got to be in time.
Yes, in time. So, that's the one. Yeah.
So those are the two rules in music: is tuning and timing. And look, there are times when you can bend those rules a little bit because of emotion. Emotion can carry it. But at the end of the day, if you're not in tune and you're not in time, then you're creating discord and disharmony. So, you know, and I mean, that's what music is all about, is these layers of sounds that fit beautifully on top of each other, that have the ability to touch people and uplift. So it's got to be in tune and it's got to be in time. Yeah, those are important things.
Clint Cunningham is saam met ons volgende, hy is ons gas. Gas. Aanbieder. I want to talk about the princess. So we know the story. Terloops, ons gaan net na die 8 uur nuus, gaan ons verder gesels. And then you're going to tell us more about the princess. Just leading up to that, you were born in the same hospital.
In Bulawayo, yeah.
Than this princess. And then you got to sing at their wedding.
I'll tell you the whole story after the news. Yeah, hopefully we can play the song as well.
Okay, and maybe play some other songs of yours. What do we do here? Play songs or your songs or talk? But I actually want to, because people who go to your shows hear that story.
Yes,
but I want to hear more than just that story. I want to hear the other stuff.
I'll do my best.
That you don't do on stage. I want to hear that stuff.
Okay.
Dit is 100.5 FM. Die 8 uur nuus is met ons. Net hierna. Saterdagoggend op 100.5 FM, Clint Cunningham, saam met ons hier. So we've been chatting away, but we haven't told anybody yet where you're performing tonight, what you're doing tonight, and why you are here. So let's just use this opportunity. I mean, we have 2 hours to just punt your show.
Well, it's that fabulous little shopping center called the Casterbridge Shopping Center that has one of the best venues in the country, which is the White River Barnyard Theater. And Clint and Co. are there tonight. We start at 7 o'clock. We're doing our Creedence Clearwater Revival tribute show. We'll throw in a couple of extra bits and pieces as well. And very grateful to be gigging again. It'll be the first gig I've done with the band in 7 months. So we're very happy to be on stage, obviously with all COVID-19 protocols in place.
Just to be PC.
Yes. And yeah, and it's going to be fun. Looking forward to it.
Do you feel like a rugby player who sits next to the field, he's on the bench, and he just can't wait to run up?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when the thing that you do, it makes your life make sense. That's what I've been doing for over 30 years. I love music and performance.
Can I just say I have the same this side?
100%. We're both entertainers. We're just using different mediums.
Yeah.
And it was frustrating to be on the sidelines. And it's great to be able to jump back in again this evening. So
I was just thinking that the difference between what I do and what you do, you get to do it 3 times a week. We get to do it every morning.
So there you go. So you one up on me there. That's for sure.
Clint Cunningham is saam met ons. Ons gesels 'n bietjie oor die industrie, oor sy lewe. Daar's 'n boek wat hy geskryf het, Life Told from a South African Artist's Perspective in the Music Industry. What's the title of the book?
Stories from a South African Musician.
That's it.
Yeah.
And it's available on Amazon.
Yes.
Are you going to go into a second print?
Absolutely. I just need to do some more gigs so that I can pay for it. But yes, yeah. The book was ready just before the end of last year, and I had 100 or so copies, and they went so quickly, and then all of a sudden everything else happened.
Why only print 100? Oh, again, money.
And money. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you raak jy dinge kwyt in die boek wat mense kan ontstel? Ander mense.
That they can?
That can upset other people in the industry. Do you say things in the book that upsets other people? Or is it, what is it, a true reflection of what you experienced?
No, I'm definitely not slamming anybody else. Not at all. Some weird and wonderful things have happened to me. And over 35 years or so of performing, crazy stuff is going to happen. Falling off stage, missing flights, incredible moments on stage. So somebody said to me, Clint, you should write memoirs. You're full of stories. You should write your memoirs, you know. And I didn't know how to. How do you start a memoirs? Hi, my name's Clint. I was born in 1967. You know, so, and then a friend of mine said to me, just each chapter is one of your stories. And I that was what enabled me to get my head around it. So it's about 50-odd chapters, and each one is a weird and wonderful, sometimes cringe, sometimes scary, sometimes inspiring event that has happened to me that I wanted to share. You know?
Do you visit the stories in the book again after a while and relive it, or think, maybe I should have changed that sentence?
No, I've relived it, absolutely, but I've never thought, oh no, I needed to edit that.
No.
We
started out earlier talking about rugby, and we spoke about songs that like I kept on thinking about Dozy. If he has to sing "O Reipert" one more time, he's gonna have a heart attack. And you also in that space where people ask you for somebody else's songs, not necessarily your own, but you have the gift of the gap to change that that scenario into playing one of your own songs when you're on stage. And I did ask you, do you want to be known? What song do you want to be known for? And I just want to, ek wil dit net beskryf. So, there's a song called I'm a Little Pub Singer.
Yeah.
And then you have Test of Faith. Or you have some of you, what I'm trying to say is, do you Do you want to be known or for the Clint Cunningham song that's more a fun, jokey type of song or more a serious song?
Obviously, the serious song. Mm. Yeah, it's all about making impact, you know. Each one of us comes to this planet with a little toolbox of talents, you know, that help us make our lives make sense. And my little toolbox was in the entertainment industry. So singing and playing guitar and writing songs and that. And so at the end of the day, I want someone to be able to say, hey, that song helped me, or I learned from that song. I was able to evolve and grow. To have that kind of feedback as an artist is manna from heaven for an artist.
Why did you take a Steve Hofmeyr song and wrote an English version of Pompoon? And how did you do it? Did you ask him? Did you tell him you're going to do it?
Interesting story. I was on Steve's show, Dis Hooded Is, years ago.
Oh,
and nice. It was when it was recorded in a barnyard theater, one of the big barnyards in Johannesburg. And the show is just less than an hour long, Dis Hooded Is, the actual TV show. But it takes about 3 hours to film enough footage for that hour. So in that 3 hour time period, there is 300, 400 people live in that audience, because it's shot in front of a live audience. And I'd obviously met Steve before and knew who he was and that. But that, it made a very big impact on me, that show, because I noticed what an incredible entertainer he is. Because for that 3 hours, he had that audience in the palm of his hand. He did not stop once, whether the cameras were on or off. He was entertaining. He is a consummate entertainer. And that, my respect for him tripled in that realization. And he finished off that particular episode with Pampun, and I, as an English person, I realized I had heard the song many times before and recognized it. And I thought it would be interesting to be able to introduce the English-speaking population to some of the songs that are really big in the Afrikaans industry. So I translated Pampun into English. I translated Lisa Saklafir into English as well. And we started doing those in our various shows. And we got great response to it. And in fact, my show, The Midnight Hour, that ran for 6 months at Richard Loring Soundstage in Midrand, on our opening night, Steve was invited. And he came with some of his friends. And I got to perform the song for him in English, which he loved. I've since been able to perform it with him at a wedding, where he did the first half of Pampoon in Afrikaans and I did the second half in English.
Excellent.
Which went down really well. And I like Steve. I've gotten to know him a little bit. I've spent a bit of time with him. He's a highly intelligent man. He speaks English better than I do. I've been to his house. He's got a library, his own library. He is very well read. He is a clever, deep-thinking man, and he is phenomenally talented. And I admire his geest when it comes to standing up for the Afrikaner and those kind of things. So, yeah, I got to sing Pompoon in English for him, and he loved it. He loved it. He was very gracious.
Do you use the stage to promote a thought?
An agenda.
An agenda.
The agenda being love, the agenda being we are all wonderful in our own ways, and the agenda is that music is an incredible healing force. There are two kinds of songs. Robin, let me break it down for you this morning. There are two kinds of songs. Forget about genres, because this will work in each genre. There are two kinds of songs. The first song, when an artist is moved within by a circumstance in their life, and that emotion rises up within them and overflows and becomes a piece of music. They write a piece of music because they were inspired, touched, moved, impacted deeply. In that song, there is a beautiful energy that is entwined in that song because of its authenticity, and that's where the healing is. That's how people relate to a song. That's how a song can change somebody's life. So that is an authentic song. The other kind of song is a manufactured song, and where people in the industry get together and they choose a good-looking person in the right clothes with the right beats per minute and a clever melody, and 90% of the time the lyrics are that same old thing we've heard 1,000 times before.
Mm-hmm.
So I am very much for authentic music, and I am very much not for manufactured music. There's a time and a place where we all want to let our hair down and dance like no one's watching, and I get it. But that should not be the group of songs that is overpowering the other. So authentic stuff is what it's all about. And unfortunately, we live in such a money-driven era that there's a lot of manufactured stuff out there. They pander to us. They tell us what we should and shouldn't like. And I have always dug my heels in deeply with that. I want to see the real you. What makes you tick? Because in you representing that for me, that's how I can learn and relate and grow. So I don't know whether I've written any great songs or not, but I know that I've written lots of authentic ones, and I'm proud of that.
On that note, why is it that, yes, I'm generalizing now, but a lot of the hit songs are easy, simple songs. It's an easy tune. Somebody can listen to it. And some of the biggest songs that we still, after 30 years, sing, has got a nice melody to it. Some really good words to a song. But I find that people like Roger Waters, people like Mel Botas, he overthinks things. He does brilliant music.
Mm.
But he's like 20 years ahead of when that song should actually be written or played.
Yeah.
Look, my question is that the simple song, the easy tune, why, like Pompoon, why does that become such a big hit?
Because the people can relate to it. It tells a story. It's an awesome story in that song.
Yes.
And it tells a story, and people can tap their feet to it, and the melody moves them. Now, look, if you look at Hotel California, if you look at Bohemian Rhapsody, if you look at Stairway to Heaven, I mean, these are songs that our great-great-grandchildren will know.
Yeah.
Okay? I think that is the benchmark that all songwriters should aspire to. Whether they get there or not is not important, but to try to aspire to those heights. I mean, Hotel California has a huge long guitar solo at the end of it. It doesn't have the standard short song that has a verse and a chorus and a verse and a chorus and a double chorus fade at the end, you know. It's a Stairway to Heaven as well, a Bohemian Rhapsody. I mean, yeah. These are standard formulaic hit songs.
Mm.
These are songs where the artist was inspired, and that's why they live forever. So...
Mm.
I would much rather, again, I come back to authenticity versus manufactured.
But still, Lisa Siklafir, that's a beautiful song.
Incredible song.
It's just a simple song.
Incredible song with an incredible story. And
yes.
It will last.
Yeah,
absolutely. You're right. A great song doesn't have to have clever chords. It must tell a story, as long as it's real. And those two songs, Pampun and Lisa Siklafir, they are fabulous songs. There's meaning behind them, which is what substantiates them and makes them impactful.
So Steve calls his dog Roof, and hij is al jaren doof.
Yeah.
How did you change that into English?
Send all my loving to your mom, but leave her behind now if you come. There's space for three, that's all I've got. You and me, and of course my dog, his name is Jeff.
That's right. And he's still deaf or something like that.
Steve was impressed as to how close. I mean, it's a pretty much a literal translation.
Yes.
But it came out very, very well. And sometimes I perform it, and if I've got predominantly an Afrikaans audience, I love watching the expressions on people's faces as they go, damn, I know the song.
Yes.
And I only realized halfway through, what is Pampoen in Engels?
Yeah. Ons is Clint Cunningham en saam met ons vandag. Ons het nou vir 2 ure lang en ons kan nog vir lang gesels. Jy is welkom saam te gesels. Ek sien André is daar op die WhatsApp lyn. Op die lang pad, op pad na Dulstroom toe. So André, mooi ry, veilig ry. En ek dankbaar dat jy dit saam met ons geniet. So there's a story that you tell when you're up on stage about the Princess of Monaco.
Yes.
So I'm going to try and recap from what I gather, from what I heard when you say it on stage. But I want to hear, you know, not the story you tell on stage. I want to hear the other story, the behind the... There must be something else that nobody gets to hear when you perform it on stage.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the other piece of nugget, the other piece of gold about this princess. So sy is die prinses van Monaco. En Clint, hulle is gebore in dieselfde hospitaal in Bulawayo. En Clint is uitgenooi, soos wat jy gesê het. Jy kry die kans om reg oor die wêreld boks toernooie, internasionale gevegte by te woon en die landse anthems daar te sing. And then you wrote the song.
It was her dad. It all came about because of her dad. Her dad is a big boxing fan.
That's right.
And he saw Clint & Co perform at a big boxing tournament at Empress Palace. And he came up and said he wanted to hire us to play for his son's wedding. So we arrived to set up that day for the wedding and realized there was a lot of security. And it turned out that obviously Princess Charlene was there as well to enjoy her brother's wedding. So I got to meet her. The dad introduced me. And she's fabulous. She's one of us. Lots of fun. She had obviously asked her dad a couple of questions about who we were, and her dad had told her that I was born in Bulawayo in Zimbabwe, as she was. She then asked me, what hospital were you born in? I said, the Mater Dei, and she laughed and said, me too, and gave me a high five. Now, I wasn't expecting her down-to-earthness. I wasn't expecting the high five, and I wasn't expecting her to be at the wedding. So I thought she was really cool, and then got inspired a couple of months later, was thinking about it and got inspired and wrote the song. The chorus is, there's a small town in Africa. It's a place that breeds the best. And we should know because we were both born there, my Bulawayo princess. And I was chuffed with the song, and we got the chance to record it later. But the amazing thing is that I was then invited to Monaco to perform for the prince and princess in the private gardens of the palace, for an event that was celebrating the princess's inauguration as a global ambassador for the Red Cross. So it was a big deal. There were 60 of Monaco's elite there that day. And I went across with a 14-piece black male voice choir. So 14 black dudes that can sing. So we did Impi, Chocholoza, Weeping by Bright Blue. And I saw it as an awesome chance for me to do her song that I had written for her.
But at that stage, she didn't know about this.
Nobody knew about it. No, I'd never even played the song live before. So I rehearsed it with the choir and that. And on the day of the show, I was phoned in my hotel room. To this day, I still don't know who it was. Some guy with a French accent. And he introduced himself as a royal advisor, a palace advisor. And they had gotten wind of the fact that I'd written a song for the princess and I was going to perform it that day. They didn't like that idea. There's a lot of protocol with the royals, and you can't be personal with the princesses at a public gathering. And
so it's just they need to be in control. That's all.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was politely told off and had to drop the song from the repertoire. But then we were up on the hill in the gardens. We were in the middle of the show, and it was going beautifully. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. There wasn't a breath of wind. It was a beautiful day. The people were eating out of our hands. And I thought to myself, what are they going to do? You know, are they going to send me home? I had a flight booked that night that they had paid for. In fact, I rushed home. From Monaco, we were put into a bus to the airport in Nice, where we flew via Istanbul Turkish Airlines back to OR Tambo in Joburg. And then I rushed out of the airport into the band bus to get to Vereniging, to the Barnyard Theatre at Vereniging, because we had a show there. So I went from the palace in Monaco to the Barnyard in Vereniging in 24 hours, which was a culture shock. And so anyway, I decided to do it. So I addressed her. I said, Your Serene Highness, Princess Charlene, when I first met you, you made a big impact on me. You had found out we were both born in the same little town, same little hospital, and you gave me a high five, and I thought that was so very cool of you. And I wrote you a song. The song is called My Bulawayo Princess. And we performed it, and it went down a storm, and the prince shook my hand, the princess gave me a hug, and it was probably one of the highlights of my career. So, and the moral of the story is sometimes when people tell you don't do something, you have to follow your heart and you must do it.
Does she own a copy of the song?
I don't know, because I've never heard from them since.
Does she play the song on repeat all the time?
Probably not.
Well, let's hear the song.
The song is right here. Must I just press
Please,
play?
Please, you're
there,
the DJ.
There we go. I am the DJ, ladies and gentlemen. 100.5 FM Radio Lowveld. It's a wonderful to be with you here this Saturday morning. Bless you all.
And this is my song. Bulawayo Princess, Clint Cunningham.
I watched you rise up to the occasion, the whole world watching as you stood tall. And it can't be easy to be this inspiration, the fairy tale to uplift us all. Swept off your feet by our Prince Charming to the bright lights of Monaco. And I know just where you have come from. I watch in wonder to see where you go. There's a small town in Africa. It's a place that breeds the best. We should know, 'cause we were both born there. My Bulawayo princess. I've sung for your brother and for your father. And oh, what an honor, I sing for you now. And just like Grace Kelly and those before you, you symbolize hope in the moment of now. And I wish for you, you're happily ever after at the palace in Monte Carlo. 'Cause I know just where you have come from. I watch in wonder to see where you'll go. There's a small town in Africa. It's a place that breeds the best. We should know, 'cause we were both born there. My Bulawayo princess. A billion blessings from Africa to you. Sent from us, watching from afar. A billion blessings we send to you. There's a small town in Africa, a place that breeds the best. There's a small town in Africa, it's a place that breeds the best. We should know, 'cause we were both born there. My Bulawayo princess. My Bulawayo princess. My Bulawayo princess.
Love the Africa clunk you brought in there as well.
Absolutely. Well, it's a song about living in Africa, you know.
Yeah.
So, yes, that was it was a big event, and I'm glad I did it, and I have a wonderful song that I love and am proud of. So.
And it's something that nobody can take away from you. You can always just tell that story.
Yes.
Because you lived it. Steve Hoffman kan nie dit doen nie.
Yes.
He can't say that.
He messaged me a couple of years ago and said to me that the princess had just invited him to perform.
Oh, you're really serious?
At the palace.
Now you burst my bubble.
But he turned her down because he already had a gig booked. So he teased me. He said, listen, I know you've sung for her. She asked me to as well, but I said, no, I'm busy. Ha, ha, ha. He's a boy, KL Steve. I enjoy him very much.
Oh, ongelooflijk. Ek en Clint het paar jaar terug hier in die 90 jare, 95, 96, daai omgewing. Then you had
recorded material, but it wasn't published. I mean, the only thing that was published was Cry Baby Cry, I think, at that stage, when we did our three-hour late-night show on the Ripple in Pretoria. And also for 3 years long, we just played your music. We just spoke about your music. Late night.
And all three of our listeners were very happy.
We had no complaints.
Yes, we had no complaints.
Like this morning, no complaints.
Oh, yes. Thank you for not complaining.
Do you mind taking out your guitar and doing something for us? We're gonna go for a couple of adverts and stuff. That's what we do on radio. And then I want you to play a song.
Okay.
Let's do, I don't know, we'll decide what song. Clint Cunningham is saam met ons hier volgend op 100.5 FM en ons gaan vir jou meer hê, net hierna, bly geskakel. 20 minute voor 9 op 100.5 FM, ek kan nie glo, Clint, we only have about 20 minutes to go still.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Isn't that just true? Yeah. I am looking forward to tonight. Hy is weer terug in die Laagveld, eerste keer in 7-8 maande dat hulle weer perform. Die band, Clint & Co, wat by mekaar kom. No, this is a wrong question. You enjoy performing with the band, but you also enjoy doing your own shows. But I guess with the band, it's much, much nicer.
There's an incredible energy on stage with the more people you have on stage with you, if they're all in synergy and working well together. So that, it's fabulous to have the band behind me. Yeah. I've been blessed to do a bunch of gigs with, like, the Johannesburg Philharmonic Orchestra, that was a 55-piece band behind me. You know, we did a Creedence medley that had been orchestrated for an orchestra, which was so. Yeah, the more people on stage,
there's a YouTube video somewhere about that.
Yeah, there is.
Is it difficult to keep a band alive and to tour?
Absolutely, to keep your band happy. To make sure all the logistic necessities are met in terms of food and accommodation and for sure, you know.
And you do it yourself.
Yeah. I run, manage, book and sing for Clint & Co. Yeah.
So yeah. If people want to talk to you, they talk to you.
They talk to me, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm easy to find. Clint & Co. is on the internet.
Yeah. It's so easy.
Yeah. It's easy to find, yeah.
Anders de bel net vir ons. Ons sal jou in contact sit.
Yeah. I had an interesting thing happen a couple of years back. You must know the South African artist Nia Nel. Now, Nia Nel is an old friend of mine. She's a wonderful lady. I've known her for like 25 plus years. She invited me around to her house for a dinner party, and I got excited because I knew there'd be beautiful women there. So I shaved and got dressed nicely and put some Paco Rabanne on. And I went to her house, and I was right. There were some beautiful women there. To cut a long story short, after the meal, Nia Nel asked me to sing a couple of songs on acoustic guitar for her friends. And there was a lady who was there that evening who was from Florida in the United States, and she'd come to talk to Nia Nel about getting her to do some touring in America. And this lady fell in love with what I did. And cut a long story short, because of her name's Marilise, I got to perform in Sarasota, Orlando, Fort Lauderdale. I got to perform in Atlanta. I got to perform several times in the United States, which was a bucket list dream of mine that you have no idea. So we arrived in Fort Lauderdale the one afternoon, and this lady told me that in Fort Lauderdale there is a South African butchery. The butchery is called Dutchies, and they make boerewors and biltong, and they sell appetizer and rooibos tea, and that they are a hub for the South African expat community. So they had heard that I was in their part of town, and they wanted to meet me, so there was a meet and greet at a butchery. Now, I never ever thought that I would ever get to perform in a butchery, let alone a butchery in America, let alone a butchery in America full of South Africans.
Wow.
So they asked me to whip out my guitar, and they just want to be reminded of home. So I sang a couple of songs, and there was a gentleman there that day, a proper Afrikaans man, a sterk Afrikaans boerseun. You could see he had kuite, and he had a Clive Rice snor, And he was wearing those Gilbert, white Gilbert rugby shorts that men should not wear over a certain age at all. But anyway, and he had Crocs on. But the worst of all was he had a Blue Bulls rugby jersey on. So I went all the way to the United States of America, and I still can't get rid of Blue Bulls rugby fans. So he wasn't interested in what I was doing at all. He was eating a boerewors roll and talking nonsense in the back with some friends of his. And then I played the song that I'm going to play for you now, which is a song of mine that I wrote. The song is called Proudly South African, and it's written about what it's like to ride or drive the magnificent roads we have in this beautiful country of ours. So it's got a lot of South African place names and that in it. It's a very South African song. And halfway through the song, I noticed this Afrikaans man was now starting to listen. And about three quarters of the way through the song, a beautiful thing happened as he shed a tear because he misses South Africa so much. And so that's Clint, one, and the Blue Bulls, nothing.
Hitting the highway, tarmac straight and true, the rumble beneath of a dirt road or two. The garden route beckons, sun, sea and sand, a gig in the mountains, oh what a band. Yes, my life, my journey, I do what I can. Just a song, just a story, proudly South African. Oh, my heart, my mission, do you understand? Just a rhyme, just a reason, proudly South African, yeah. The Barnyard in Cape Town, six nights in a row. Franchuk on a Harley, it's the only way to go. And Ronnie has a sex shop on Route 62. Between the mountains, the desert, it's called the Karoo. Yes, my life, my journey, I do what I can. Just a song, just a story, proudly South African. Oh, my heart, my mission, do you understand? Just a rhyme, just a reason, proudly South African, yeah. It's summer in Durban, it's a surfing holiday. I'm watching the dolphins in Plettenberg Bay. We camping in Clarence, it's a night round the fire. A guitar in my hand and a heart to inspire. Yes, my life, my journey, I do what I can. Just a song, just a story, proudly South African. Oh, my heart, my mission, do you understand? Just a rhyme, just a reason, proudly South African.
So tempted to say, do us more, but that's not gonna happen because you are performing tonight at the Barnyard Theatre in Witrivier, White River. What a nice venue. Do you know, have they given you any feedback on the bookings for tonight? Is there still a place available?
I think there is still a place available. Obviously, they've had to be restrictive on how many seats they're going to sell. I think it's just over half you're allowed to sell. I'm not 100% sure. So when I spoke to the lady yesterday, she said the bookings are looking good.
Oh, good.
But I'm sure there will still be a few tickets left over. If you're keen, get hold of them ASAP.
What time do you start?
We start at 7 o'clock.
Okay, that's tonight.
That's tonight, 7 o'clock, yeah. It's an hour earlier than usual. We normally start at 8, so that's going to be weird. But obviously with curfews and all those kind of things in place, it's easier for us to start earlier and finish earlier.
And what do you do afterwards? Do you stay around, gather, mingle?
I love to gather and mingle. I love my audience, you know. So I love to talk nonsense with them afterwards. And when you finish a show, there's a couple of hours of elevated awareness that you experience from the high of being on stage. You know, the adrenaline's still pumping and that. So I can't just get off stage, get into my car, go to a hotel and go to sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in the day, I used to get up to all kinds of naughty nonsenses. And now that I'm a bit older, I'm actually quite well behaved these days.
How long can you still perform?
For for the rest of my life. I will find a way. Absolutely. I'm an entertainer. That's another thing I've realized. Okay. I'm not just a singer, songwriter. I am fundamentally an entertainer. And I will use, when I was 4 years old, my mom pointed at me and said, this kid's going to be an entertainer. That's how obvious it was when I was 4 years old.
Gee.
So there's one of the projects I'm involved with at the moment. I host tours. There's not a lot of people that have the knowledge that I have of roads in this country, because I've toured for over 20 years with a traveling band, and because of my love for adventure motorcycling and 4x4ing, I know all the best places on dirt roads. I have done extensive touring on both dirt and tar roads in this country. So I've been blessed to take people on trips and show them places that they don't know about, whether they're from overseas or whether they're local people. So I've partnered up with a company called Overland 360, and we do a lot of work with Avis 4x4 Safaris. They got those magnificent 4x4 vehicles with rooftop tents and fridges in the back, and they are kitted. And I take people on a tour to show
the self-drive. You take your vehicle and
yes. And I'll lead them. I'm their host, and I'll take them to places like the Bushman's Cave Mountain Theatre in Clanwilliam, the very best venue in the country that a lot of people don't know about. I take them to De Hel, the hidden little hamlet in the Swartberg Mountains, Sieverweegspoort, the stargazing capital of the Southern Hemisphere, Sutherland, the southernmost tip of the African continent, Cape Agulhas. And I do tours like that. So there, I'm still entertaining. I'm just using different... And let me tell you, to team up with the greatest, best-looking chick of them all, Mother Nature, is fabulous. As I've gotten older, my connection to the outdoors and Mom Nature has gotten huge. I'm not a city boy anymore. I love being in the bush. I love having my feet in the dirt. I love seeing wild animals. I love open spaces, mountain ranges, trees. I love that. To be stuck in the confines of a city, it's enough. I need to get out there. So... being fundamentally an entertainer, I will use whatever it is I have at my disposal to entertain you. So,
how big are these groups that gather? It's like 3-4 cars or two cars?
I've done it with cars. I've done it with motorcycles. So I've had... Oh, it all started in the motorcycle fraternity, in the adventure motorcycling fraternity. My birthday weekend, I used to take 30 to 40 people away to a lodge for the weekend, sing around the fire acoustically on a Friday night, Saturday night do a gig with the band, and then during the day we'd explore routes and go and see fabulous places, and we'd all stay at this lodge. So that worked, and that's how it started. And then I started to do more. Then I did a tour into Zimbabwe and Botswana with 8 people on motorcycles. So it's normally about 5 or 6 vehicles, and... to be able to show people places in their own country, South Africans in their own country that they don't know about, or an international tourist. I took a father and son from San Francisco in the United States. I took them on an epic tour on motorcycles in the Western Cape. And the son had to do a river crossing going into De Hel, and it's a hectic river crossing. And I will never forget the look on that guy's face when he made it through that river crossing, got off his bike like he had just won a gold medal. I love that, to be able to give those kind of experiences to people. It's real stuff. Yeah, it fills me up inside. What can I say?
So there's a lot of passion. There's a lot of Clint still left in you. Are you looking at giving back to the industry or giving back to South Africa?
I want to give back to people. The industry, I must be careful how I put this, because I'm not bitter. I was, but I'm not. The industry has let me do my own thing. It's left me alone to my own devices. It hasn't really supported me. I've kind of been on the outside of the industry. I've either been too English for the Afrikaans people or too Afrikaans for the English people. And so... for example, a couple of years ago, a young guy joined our band as our roadie and our sound engineer. His name's Devin de Kock, and he's got the fire inside him that I have to entertain. Excuse me. So my band and I, we've helped him, we've mentored him, we've recorded some songs for him. So I love to help people like that. If I can recognize in you that you're in love with the same thing I'm in love with, I will do everything I can to try and help you, because in that way music has been great to me. The industry, not so much. The industry is, I don't know, the industry is fickle, and we live in different times. One of the things you mentioned, the reality competition shows, The Voice, Pop Idols, America's Got Talent, all of that. While I understand their entertainment value, I think they've done more damage than they've done good. It's very, very difficult for somebody to blow someone away with a song now, because you can get onto YouTube and watch 500 of them in a row. It doesn't represent the industry properly. And again, it's other people who are in control and using and abusing the artists. I don't know. So the industry is a creature I'm still coming to terms with. But I've been able to forge my own little industry, my own little group of contacts, and my own little resources that have been very good to Clint & Co. So if I would love to help people one-on-one. Yeah. Especially as entertainers. If you've got something to share and you want to share with people for the sake of uplifting people, that's a beautiful job, man. Mm. That's a beautiful job. You know? So especially through interesting times that we're going through at the moment. Yeah.
So I guess I know the answer already on this one, but are you still hoping to write that one hit song that will go further than Cry Baby Cry? No, but the song that will hit international and
basically
will be
the
big one.
Basically what you're talking about is that huge big success in the industry that has – to a large extent eluded me. I've had people tell me when I've spoken about it, they've said to me, well, have you ever considered the fact that maybe you're not very good at what you do? And I honestly hadn't. And that was a huge wake-up call, you know. So I want to be able to sing to audiences that value what we're doing on stage, to people that want to be uplifted, to people who want to, for those couple of hours, forget about their worries and their strife, to be able to ground themselves and shake their bums, clap their hands, and enjoy that kind of therapy, because that's what live entertainment provides. And to walk away from my show feeling lighter and stronger. That's what I want to do. Winning big awards and look, it'd be lucky to have lots of money, because I've got a couple of motorcycles and cars I'd like to buy. But yeah, I don't know. I've been doing it for too long. I think I'm maybe a little jaded. So maybe it would be nice to have something huge that happens to re-inspire me again.
Yeah.
But I love being on stage. So long may that continue.
It's 3 minutes and 50 seconds that could change a person's life, and it could come at any time.
A song. Absolutely. It's happened to me.
Yeah.
It's happened to me several times. And I am in great awe and gratitude to those songwriters that wrote those songs that enabled me to see my life and life from a different perspective, from a more whole, more evolved perspective. That is the beautiful thing about music, is it is a universal language.
Now, yeah. Clint, it's been 2 hours. It's been lovely once again.
Hey, thank you, my friend. I love talking with you. Thank you for having me here. It's a great honor and a privilege. Yeah. Love being in the Lowveld and looking forward to tonight.
Those tours that you do, you need to do one in the Lowveld.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I'm busy working on an itinerary at the moment, which has to do with Adam's Calendar and the ancient stone circles of Mpumalanga, as well as seeing the Big Five. And we're putting something together. I've got 3 big tours that I want to do a year. Yeah.
Daar is nog kaartjies beskikbaar vir die vertoning vanavond. Witrivier, Baanjaar Theater. Hy het geen bekendstelling nodig nie. Hy is Clint Cunningham. En het is Clint & Co vanavond op die verhoog. What a band. What a boy.
Baie dankie, Robin. 100.5 FM.